Do you know any places any Sega nerds hang out around here?
Welcome to the Sega Nerdcast, episode 111. I am Chris, the editor of Sega Nerds, and with me today are Graham and Marcin. How's it going, guys?
Hello, hello.
How's it going, Chris?
All right. It's going well. It's been a while since we've been here, but I do have some exciting news to tell our listeners. So we decided to try to revamp the Nerdcast a bit. We're still going to be talking about the news and all the important stuff going around in the Sega community and world as it is, but we just thought that the Nerdcast needed some juicing up, right, guys?
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah, I was not really a fan of kind of the format that we had before, so we're going to change things up, like I said. So we're going to, the first part of the podcast is going to be the news, like it always has been. We're just going to be doing that, and then after the news, we're going to have a fun little segment called the Trivia Block, where Graham is going to ask listeners some trivia each week, and the winners will be able to win some prizes.
Ooh, yeah.
So it's going to be some neat stuff there. We'll get into some more details when we get to that segment. And then after that, in our third segment, is going to be the Game of the Week. So we've kind of had something like this way back when. But we're going to bring this back, and we're going to do a weekly Game of the Week. The idea is we'll put a Twitter poll up that'll have like three or four different games on it, and you, our listeners, and our Twitter followers will vote on the game that you want us to play that week, and we'll talk about it on that week's or that following week's podcast. And it's kind of a retrospective slash review. We'll look at some trivia about the game. Like when it was released, publishers, that kind of stuff. And then we'll just talk about the gameplay, the story. And at the end, we'll either recommend it or not recommend it and talk about how much kind of the game is worth today and where you can pick it up at. But I think that'll be a really fun segment to bring back, and it'll help round out the podcast a little bit. So with that in mind, let's get into the newsstand. So first up, this literally just came in a few minutes ago from Sega Europe, and it's Sega Europe announces a partnership and game deal with 2Point Studios. And so 2Point Studios is a relatively new company, but it's headed up by Gary Carr and Lionhead Studios co-founder Mark Webley. And so they've worked on games such as Theme Park, Black and White, Theme Hospital, and Fable. And Sega Europe has announced that they're basically going to be working with them to publish their new game. It's as of yet to be announced, but they're going to be announcing it, I think, some point later on this year. And it sounds pretty interesting. Graham, you're kind of familiar with some of the games that they've worked on at Lionhead, right?
Yeah. So like Black and White and Fable, obviously, they're sort of two games, and Black and White was actually meant to come out on the Dreamcast back in the day, and they were creating a version for it, but the Dreamcast basically sort of came to the end of its life and they decided not to publish it. So I mean, that's always a sad one. So there was a tie back with Sega back then, but yeah. And Theme Park and Theme Hospital, that's actually when they were working at Bullfrog, I believe. I think Gary Carr might have been working at Bullfrog then. And yeah, so those are obviously EA bought out Bullfrog and the theme park license and stuff. But yeah, so those are some pretty big classic games, really, that the two founders of the studio are sort of behind, really. And so it's quite interesting, exciting to see what they might actually be coming out with.
It is. So in the press release, Carr said, "We are really excited to be working with Sega, and between us, we feel confident that we can create something special and realize our vision of crafting a beautiful, charming, and challenging sim game." Mm-hmm. So it will be a sim game. It says they're going to be revealing more details about the project in early 2018. And this leads me to think that it's going to be probably a PC game. Sega Europe is really into publishing the PC side of things. Now, they don't really handle a lot of console games anymore. So I think it's probably likely going to be a PC game, at least how I'm reading this. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think, especially if it's a sim game. I mean, sim games never really work so well on consoles. You do get the odd one here and there that have had some minor success, but sim game, I always think console, really. There's a chance it could be a mobile game, but I'm kind of hoping not.
What if they're finally publishing Black and White on Dreamcast, and this is the publishing deal?
That's not going to happen.
That would. I will literally crap my pants if that happens. That would be so good. It's so much fun. Wow.
When I was younger, though, I did actually play Theme Park and Theme Hospital on both PlayStation, and those were actually my jam when I was younger. It was like I was obsessed, you know, building the theme parks and Theme Hospital specifically. I loved. So if they're building a new sim game and if it's in the same style and charm of those games, I'm all for it. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, definitely. I actually had Theme Park on the Mega Drive and the Sega Saturn, and that was my jam. And
was the Sega Amusement Park that was in England back in the day?
Like that Sega World.
What if it was Steam Sega World?
That that would be so much fun. That'd be awesome.
Cool.
Man, yeah. And I have to admit, like with Martin, I would love to see another game a bit like that come out, because I know they have released more recent theme park games than those, but the original theme park was probably one of my favourites. I thought it was great. Well, I guess we'll have to see what they come up with, though. What about you, Chris? What do you think? You excited?
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of sim games, but I'm interested in seeing what they're doing. I really like the moves that Sega Europe has been making over the past couple of years. They're really becoming a powerhouse in the PC side of things. And so I'm really interested in seeing, you know, it's going to be a while, another 6 months or so before, or maybe even 8 months before we really get some more information about what this is going to be. But it's something to keep an eye on. So they have a website that you can go look at. I think it's, I had it open a while ago. But I think it's like 2pointstudios.com or something like
correct.
That.
Yes.
Oh, sweet. So, but the only thing there is it's basically, it's a bare bones site. And I think there's some job openings and things like that. So if you're looking to get a job in the PC side of things, maybe apply, but
yeah, I'm gonna look at it now.
It will be interesting. So so more to come on that. Next up, we have another interesting news story. The headline is Sega Forever a subscription based game service for mobile? And so this was something that came up about a week or so ago. That we've learned that Sega appears to be close to launching a new initiative called Sega Forever. They've already registered Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit accounts, and it appears to be a game service designed for mobile devices. And there is a Twitter user named @BearKitty who sent some information to a YouTuber named Sean Long, and he was playing an iOS version of Comic Zone that was released recently in the Philippines. And the main menu screen has a couple options for an ad-free button. And if you click that, you're taken to a screen that essentially shows two versions of the game. One that has ads and then one that's an ad-free version. The ad-supported version, it only has cloud save support, but the ad-free version supports cloud saves, and it also has a purchase button that has the words Sega Forever Buy, and there's an asterisk on there that also this says Sega games may be featured at launch for the Sega Forever version, so it's kind of interesting. But let's see here, another interesting thing about this is the Sega Zine option on there, and there's not a lot of information on that, but it's I'm wondering if that might be some sort of new newsletter or something like that Sega is planning on launching to coincide with the Sega Forever initiative. But there was also, I guess the reason how he kind of came upon this game is there was a Sega Forever survey that was sent out at some point, and he was able to take that, and we were actually able to get a link to the survey. And it's really interesting because they start asking, like what platforms have you played Comic Zone on before? Out of those platforms, which one would you like to play, you know, Comic Zone on most of all? I'm scrolling down here, and there is actually there's one screen that says, which of the following Sega game series have you heard of? And they're listed in alphabetical order. I'll go through some of them real quick, and I think some of these are really interesting, and we'll talk about why. But those games were Afterburner, Alex Kidd, Altered Beast, Beyond Oasis, Bonanza Bros, Choo Choo Rocket, Columns, Comic Zone, Crazy Taxi, Echo the Dolphin, Flicky, Girls Garden, Golden Axe, Jet Set Radio, Kid Chameleon, Monaco GP, Outrun, Panzer Dragoon, Fantasy Star, Samba de Amigo, Seaman, Sega Superstars All-Star Racing, Shinmu, Shining Force, Shinobi, Skies of Arcadia, Sonic the Hedgehog, Space Channel 5, Starjacker, which I believe is a SG-1000 game, Streets of Rage, Super Monkey Ball, House of the Dead, Trauma Center, which was a 3DS game, right, Graham?
Nintendo DS game.
That's right. And then we also have Virtua Fighter, Virtua Tennis. Virtua Tennis is actually listed twice. That's strange.
Yeah, I know.
Wonder Boy, and then Yakuza. So that's a long list of games. Cool. And so it seems like some of those games are likely to be considered being included in the Sega Forever program. And games like Panzer Dragoon, and I think what was another one? There was a couple Saturn games listed on there. And so it has some people buzzing that there could be some more Saturn games included down the line on these. But what are some of these games that jumped out at you guys?
I mean, I'm just kind of amazed at the long list of properties that they haven't used in a long time. Yeah. And like, you just kept going, and I'm like, nope. Nothing new there, nothing new there, nothing new there. So I think I'm really looking forward to them actually kind of reinvigorating, resurrecting some of these intellectual properties, or at least giving a new audience, exposure to these games that existed and now people, younger generations can play through, potentially a mobile subscription service or even, on PlayStation or Xbox. It'll be like an app that you download like Netflix. I think that's what gives me a hard on anyway, but
yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, I like the idea of it being a mobile subscription service, but at the same time, there's a lot of these games on there that I think would lend themselves better to PlayStation or Xbox or PC as well. Like, if there's, they'd be better on that. Like Skies of Arcadia and stuff, and Panzer Dragoon. I just think that would lend itself better to an actual console rather than a mobile. One thing I'd like to be interested in, though, because you brought this up, they've obviously mentioned Panzer Dragoon and Virtual Cop, which are famously, well, released on the Saturn, obviously, first. The original Panzer Dragoon was released on the PC. I don't know if you knew that.
Right, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but none of the other ones were released on any other console. So if it's just Panzer Dragoon, then it's still quite good, because Panzer Dragoon, I still love that game, but Panzer Dragoon 2 and Panzer Dragoon Saga were arguably rated much, much better games. And if this is the first time they're coming to a different platform, that's really exciting news, because they just haven't bought those games. And Sega famously lost the actual original code to Panzer Dragoon Saga. So it'd be interesting if how they're actually going to bring that game to another platform if they do. Panzer Dragoon is one thing that jumped out at me. And I guess Skies of Arcadia as well, actually. Those are the two things that sort of made me go, ooh. it's kind of cool to see them giving a bit of attention to games. Like, even, what's the game you mentioned that was like an SG-1000 game?
Starjacker?
Yeah, like, I mean, not even Sega fans probably don't know about that game that much. So it's kind of interesting they're listing all these games out there, so...
Gruul's Garden also was a, and actually Flicky, they were on the SG-1000. Gruul's Garden was Yu Suzuki's very first game that he made for Sega.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting. It's going to, I mean, so what do you guys think that Sega is going to have to do for this? Because if it's just SG-1000, Genesis games, Game Gear games, things like that, there are emulators out there on the App Store that you can get, and you could load the entire libraries of all of those systems on there and play them fine there. So what is Sega going to have to do to be able to make something like Sega Forever attractive for people, maybe from a price point and a feature standpoint? Like, what from your guys' standpoint, like, what would they need to do to be able to make this a success?
I think it needs to have a brilliant marketing campaign. I think if you are trying to sell a product that essentially already exists in various mediums, like you've mentioned before, you're going to have a bunch of people who are basically saying, you know, so what? So what that you released, you know, a new subscription-based service if I could already play all these games on my computer right now? And I think that the way for them to kind of make it more appealing to, you know, potential customers is to include games that have never been released, games that were never ported from Japan to the West, maybe include those in the libraries, Saturn games, Dreamcast games, and then have a competitive price point, because there are so many streaming services right now that are fairly cheap and do a similar thing. So since the only thing you're selling are Sega games, I feel like the price point has to be there, and the way you sell the product, because they're look at things like right now the fidget spinner, right? It's a tiny little dinky thing that spins around, but people are buying it because it's the next craze. But it's the way it's been marketed and sold, and word of mouth and things like that is what's making it sell like hotcakes. So, marketing is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's quite cool. One thing I think that would help a lot as well is possibly adding in online capabilities, like if there's any multiplayer games, like Streets of Rage, for example, have that online multiplayer, online two-player. I know some of the older games won't have that necessarily have that feature, but some sort of online edition, I don't know, like leaderboards even or something, things like that. People seem to love that sort of stuff, like, you know, achievements as well and stuff. If they can bring those to it, that might make it that bit different from the emulators out there, for example. Yes, you can get it all for free, but the legitimate version, you get these extra features in, basically. In fact, one thing I want to add as a side note, and I don't know if this is related in any way, this is almost hearsay, but everyone should know, hopefully by now, that I'm a big fan of the Windows devices. I love my Windows 10 PC,
here we go.
My tablet, my Windows phone.
Cheap plug there.
On the Windows Store, since I've had Windows devices, on the actual Windows sort of App Store, you've always been able to download Sega emulators, like Mega Drive emulators, Master System Game Gear emulators. They've suddenly all disappeared from the Windows stores. And Microsoft's normally been quite happy about having all the emulators on there. There's still other emulators for other devices out there, but all the Sega ones have disappeared. And I don't know if this, like, Sega is removing emulators from the app stores, like in preparation for Sega Forever or something. That could make sense. However, it also kind of doesn't make sense, because Sega's never really been that big on bringing their games to the Windows stores. Like, they come on Steam and PC and stuff, but they don't actually release it so much on the actual Windows app stores. They've got a few of the bigger games like Sonic CD, Sonic Dash and stuff are on there, but like Sonic the Hedgehog 2 remake and stuff that never made it, and stuff like that. So it'd be interesting if this is related. Maybe they are building up for, like, I don't know, a big release on like PC and mobile or something. I'm not sure. Do you guys think there's any credibility behind that, or like conspiracy theory time?
I don't think that's necessarily a conspiracy theory. I think that is actually a very plausible thing. It would be Sega going out and attempting to remove any potential competition in the app stores. I know if that comes out to be true, it might not win Sega a lot of you know, fanfare from gamers out there who want to be able to have these emulators on the app store. But the reality is they've been being used as a tool for piracy, not necessarily just to play like homebrew games and other things like that. That's what people typically use them for. So I think that's a completely legitimate idea that you have, Graham, and I can totally see them going out and doing that. And it might be, I mean, Sega may not have any plans to put this on Windows, but if they're going out and attempting to take down all emulators across all app stores anyway, I could see them just saying, hey, let's remove them from Windows, and that way we don't have to worry about, you know, people going to the Windows store and playing these, even if they may not have you know, a like a Windows device or a like a Windows phone or something like that. They could find other means to be able to do that. So they may just want to take them all off entirely.
God damn, man.
There was one other screen on the survey, though, that gives me some hope. So they asked, previous to mobile, which of the following platforms have you played Comic Zone on? And they list Steam and a bunch of other older consoles. So this may be something that Sega is also considering, bringing the Sega Forever app to consoles. Because I'm sure you guys know that on Xbox One, there's the EA app. I forget the name of it.
Oh, but, Access or something?
EA Access, yes. Yeah. And so you basically pay like $3 or $4 or $5 a month. I think you pay like $30 a year. And then you just get a constant like recycling of games that come into it. And I think most of them stay there, but I think every month there's a new game or two that come out for it. So that could be something that Sega could end up doing as well, like just putting them on platforms. And that way it can increase the you know, if like people like us who don't really like to play games on mobile all that much, we'd much rather play them. That would be a good option to have as well. So more to come on that. I'm hoping that we'll be able to find some more information about this at E3, so more to come. Next up, Sonic Mania's release date has potentially been revealed. It looks like, according to Sonic Mania's Steam page, the game is looking to be released on August 15th. The date appears in a featured trailer on the European Steam page. I don't know if that's since been taken down, but apparently the America webpage is still saying that it's slated for a summer 2017 release. But it looks like the European page was listing August 15th, and a lot of people are going out and saying that this was probably a slip-up at some point, and this is going to now be the worldwide release date for Sonic Mania. What do you guys think about that?
It's good. I mean, we've been waiting for Sonic Mania to come out for a while. It's been delayed. Initially, it was supposed to come out in the spring, and then it got pushed back. And there's been so much gameplay shown since last year, I'm surprised it still need to get pushed back to fix some bugs. But hey, I like they say, you know, a crappy game released and rushed will be crappy forever, and you know, a good game, if it takes its time, will be good. So I think it's a good idea. I'm looking forward to it if it's coming out the 15th of August.
One thing important to note, August 15th is a Tuesday.
So that does make sense, though.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you made a good point. It was good that Sega spent some more time, because I think it was originally slated to be released in the spring of 2017. They pushed it back. They announced that at the, the Sonic party that they have?
Last year in July, yeah. It was the 22nd. Crappy audio issues and everything that was going on. Oh, it was a mess.
It was a mess. But yeah, I think this is good. I'm really excited for this game. It looks, it's looking really, really great. I'm hoping that Sega is going to have the game, some more information about it. I've been told that they're going to be having several new levels that they're going to be showing during E3, playable levels. And so I'm hoping that Marcin, you and I can get some hands-on time of Sonic Mania, and I'm hoping that there'll be a completely new demo build that Sega's going to be showing at E3, and that we can get out, and maybe we can get confirmation of this release date of August 15th during E3.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. I always hope you don't get to play it, Chris, because out of the team, you're the only one who hasn't played it yet. So, so Martin, you just back, you sort of like talk to the security guards in the queue, just be like, that guy's a bit, it's got something, but no. And they'll take him out, they'll take him away. And you'll be like, I've got it.
Just for you, I'll just tell them that he has something in his pocket.
Excellent. Good.
I'll be so mad.
He's got a video camera in his hat. He's going to record everything.
GoPro on his face, right there.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Yute Saito has teased some Seaman news, and it's leading us to believe that it might be a Seaman 3, and or possibly maybe even a Sega PC port coming up. So he tweeted out recently an image that showed a team of developers standing to their backs to the camera, all wearing t-shirts that have "Don't Panic" on the back. And obviously that is a an homage to the original game that had "Don't Panic" as part of its like slogan. It was, I think, featured on the art cover of the game. And so nothing's necessarily been confirmed, but there was a another tweet that he sent out a couple days before that. I don't know if you guys saw that, showed a picture of like a beta disc or something, and it had I think it was the audio lines that Leonard Nimoy had recorded for the original Seaman. So that was the one thing that I've always said, since, you know, Leonard Nimoy passed away, I was always kind of bummed out that if we were to ever get a new Seaman game, it wouldn't be narrated by him. But maybe they are going to be able to fit him in to this new game at some point, maybe taking some lines that he did for the original Seaman and getting him in there. I think that would be pretty neat.
Or so, get Shatner to do it. Make Shatner do it.
God. So I don't know if you guys remember Yute Saito. I think about a year or two ago, maybe it was even longer than that, he was discussing that he wanted to bring the game over to mobile devices. And this, I think, is where it could get interesting, because obviously in Japan, mobile is still very big, and a lot of the Japanese developers have moved and focused on to mobile devices. I think a Seaman game on mobile makes so much sense, because you have him with you all the time. You know, people today have their phones with them all the time. It's no longer that you have to like leave him throughout the day and then kind of come back to him like you did on the Dreamcast way back when. He could literally be with you all the time, and you could interact with them throughout your day. What do you guys think about the potential for Seaman on mobile?
That, as you just said, that makes so much sense now, because yeah, back in the day, if you don't know, if you ever played it, it was like a virtual pet, and like you could turn your Dreamcast on like a couple of weeks after you had your Seaman there, and he could either be really angry at you, or if it was too long, he could be dead. And cause you don't necessarily play your console all the time or use it every single day. So yeah, on mobile, that's like brilliant. It'd be funny if it's sending you push notifications going, I'm hungry, feed me, or I'm bored, help me. That'd be quite fun, because you meant to play like games of it and stuff originally, I think. I think that could be a cool idea, actually.
Martin, did you ever play Seaman?
Yeah, I bought it last year, actually, because I was just kind of really curious about it. It was either last year or it was 2 years ago, it was one of the two, but I went to a local
curious
retro.
About Seaman.
I love Seaman all over my face. I just love Seaman. I bought it last year. It was 2 years ago. I bought it at a local retro store, new in box. Basically, it included the packaging, included the microphone, and included the game, the instruction booklet, everything. And it was $60. But I started playing it, and it was slightly bizarre. At least I didn't know what to do initially, because I was just staring at the stupid fish tank and I didn't know what to do. And you know, I had to look it up, and I was just fascinated by, you know, the thing talking to me, and you know, you can have a conversation with it. I'm curious how that's going to work on mobile phones. I'm assuming you're just going to speak into your phone and then it talks back to you and whatnot. But I think it's a great idea. I think they also thought of doing it on the 3DS. Initially, he brought the idea to Nintendo, too, to have a Seaman sequel on the 3DS, but that never came to be.
That would have been cool.
But if it does come out on mobile, I'm totally downloading it because I love Seaman.
Cool. Think about how embarrassing it would be, though, if you're just like, you're in a public place, like maybe on the subway, and you have your phone in your pocket, you're not really paying attention, and all of a sudden Seaman starts coming up. He's like, "Hey, asshole, I need some food.
Feed me." Like, what the fuck is that?
It's really loud, and everyone's looking at you like you're...
It's like, oh, I thought I put it on silent. Shit.
Yeah, oh, there's man. A lot of fun, I think there's a lot of fun opportunities that they could use and implement in mobile, just with the idea that you're going to be carrying it with you all the time. And it would almost be funny if it had some Siri-like abilities as well, where you could ask like Seaman questions, like, "Hey, Seaman, you know, where are some good places to eat?" And he could, you know, either be like really mean about it or just something like that. Like, and as he grows to like learn more about you. I think it could be really fun. There's a lot of cool opportunities with that. It's definitely going to be something that we're going to keep a close watch on, because Seaman is one of my favorite Sega IPs of all time. I played it so much on the Dreamcast. And Graham, you even played the sequel during Tokyo Game Show like in 2007 or something like that.
I did, and I have to admit, I did not like it. I was not impressed with it at all. In Seaman 2, you actually sound like a monkey type man person instead, so it's not an underwater creature. But I swear to God, the graphics were absolutely horrendous. It looked like I was playing a PlayStation 1 game, but on a PlayStation 2, it just... Everything about it, I just did not like. They didn't feel like Seaman to me. I just didn't. They had a special controller which had a built-in microphone and stuff, and that was kind of cool. But I just did not like the game. I was just sort of sitting there going, "I don't like you." There's actually an interesting thing that some people may not know, that when they first released Seaman on the Dreamcast, they were actually planning on porting it to Windows. And they were talking about like having it interact with different applications or programs on your computer. Like, do you think that would be a cool idea to do now, or do you think it's too late? The mobile version would be better or something?
I think the mobile version would be better. I think that it has the potential to reach a far more number of people than doing anything like on PC or even console, really, for that matter. I just think that Seaman works perfectly with mobile devices in mind, and I would be really, really happy with that. And I think with Sega's current focus on mobile development and publishing, that I think it would... I hope that this is going to be published by Sega and be working with them. So we'll see. I'm really excited about it. It may not be something we hear back on for a while until it's closer to be ready to launch, but hopefully if it is a mobile version, it doesn't even it takes a less amount of time to be released as well.
Just out of curiosity, is Seaman owned by Sega, or is the IP, or is it actually just owned by Yu Sato?
So this was still back when I think Sega still might have been doing business where in the old ways of things, where the developers, especially, you know, in Japan, had some ownership of the IP that they were creating. And so it's not really... I don't know if it's ever been discussed publicly whether Yu Saito owns Seaman, but it's going to be interesting to see. I think it'll be telling if Sega ends up... It might be one of those things where Sega owns the original games and Yu owns the IP. So Sega, you know, like Sega could put Seaman on the Sega Forever app, but, you know, Yu Saito can go out and release a new Seaman game on anything he wants outside of Sega and without their approval.
Yeah, so kind of like the Toe Jam and Earl games, I guess.
Kind of like the Toe Jam and Earl games, but I think it might be different, because if you looked at Shenmue 3, how Yu Suzuki had to get Sega's approval to create Shenmue 3 because Sega owned the Shenmue IP. So it might be that Sega does own the Seaman IP as well, and that Saito has to go along with Sega and get their approval to be able to make a new Seaman 3. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, cool.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with the trivia block, Graham's new section.
Are you tired of having to flip through page after page of crusty old video game magazines? Or are you fed up with paper cuts, ink-stained fingers, and the regular house fire that comes with owning physical video game magazines? Well, if you value your fingers and or loved ones and want to keep them from burning alive in a fiery blaze, consider MegaVisions Magazine, the world's first digital, interactive Sega magazine designed for all your smart devices. Each issue of MegaVisions is jam-packed with industry-quality Sega and Atlas coverage that spans the company's early days to its latest releases. But wait, Graham, how about you tell our listeners what else they'll get if they subscribe to MegaVisions?
Sure thing, Chris. You'll read insider stories from Sega icons Tom Kalinske and Al Nielsen, as well as exclusive interviews, features, and other great articles from the team behind Sega Nerds. All you have to do is simply search for and download the free MegaVisions app in the App Store of your choice, or visit megavisionsmag.com for more details. Welcome to the next level of Sega video game coverage. Mega!
Welcome back to the Sega Nerdcast, and yeah, we're moving on to the trivia block. Now, this is something we kind of did back in the day, back in the old Nerdcast times, but we brought it back, we're doing it a little bit differently. So, in the olden days, I used to ask Chris, or the other host of the show, a couple of Sega questions. But this time, I'm going to be asking you, the listener, the Sega question. And each week, I'm going to try and make it a little bit tricky. Just a trivia question that just to test your sort of Sega knowledge. But the great news is, it's not just for fun. You get to win something each week. And this week, we are giving away, there'll be three lucky winners of a free issue of MegaVisions magazine. So, three of you can win that. But one of you will be able to win the grand prize, where you get the issue of the magazine plus a copy of Vanquish on Steam, the new release Vanquish, which is awesome. If you don't know much about the game, check out SegaNerds.com, where we reviewed it recently. It's really good. So, yeah. Do you guys want to know anything more, or are we just going with a clue?
Let's get on with a clue.
Okay. You phone a friend.
Do you want to phone a friend? Okay.
I'll phone you, Graham. You tell me, though.
So listeners at home, all you have to do is answer the simple question. If you know the answer, email us or DM us. I'll give you details in a second. So here is the question. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to describe a classic Sega Mega Drive or Genesis game, and you just have to guess which game it is. So here's a clue. In this adventure game, you must save your crew and defeat Bernardo the Brutal, who is after a secret map.
That's good. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, I'm clueless.
Oh, you guys are not true Sega nerds.
I guess not.
So,
posers.
Yeah. I'll say it one more time. In this adventure game, you must save your crew and defeat Bernardo the Brutal, who's after a secret map. So, you think you know the answer? That's fantastic. If you don't know, there's Google, Bing.
Too bad.
Yahoo.
I have an idea of what it might be.
Ooh.
But I'm going to wait, and I will guess next week. And I promise I'm not going to Google it.
Okay.
I'm going to keep this, and I think I might have it.
And I'm not making any promises.
So. So cool. Excellent. So yeah, if you think you know the answer, you can email us with your answer and your name to megavisionsmag@gmail.com. That's megavisionsmag@gmail.com. Or DM us on Twitter with your answer to @SegaNerds. Yeah. So that's all you have to do. Just give us your answer either via email or via Twitter. And yeah, and then the next week we'll pull three lucky winners out of a hat, effectively. And yeah, one of you will go on to win both Vanquish and a copy of MegaVisions magazine, and two runners-up will also win a copy of MegaVisions magazine. So pretty simple. Yeah.
All right. And with that, we'll take one more quick break, and we will be back with the game of the week.
Megavisions Magazine is the only interactive digital Sega magazine where you can read great features and exclusive articles on your favorite video games company. And now, you can show your support for both Megavisions and Sega through the Megavisions Magazine Tee Public Store. You can grab yourself some awesome Sega-inspired merchandise, such as t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, phone covers, and even laptop cases. We have some great designs, including our brilliant issue cover art by industry veteran Rob Duenas. Want to show your support for Sega and help out a good-ish cause? Then check out the Megavisions Magazine Tee Public Store today.
Just visit www.teepublic.com/user/Megavisions.
All right, welcome back to the Sega Nerdcast. And as we mentioned earlier at the beginning of the podcast, we are going to have a game of the week. Now, every week we're going to actually leave it up to you guys to decide what game we should play every week. But for our first inaugural podcast, where we come back bigger, badder than ever, we decided to pick it ourselves, and we decided to pick Cloud Master. Cloud Master was originally released for the Master System in 1989, and then it was released in arcades in 1988 under the name Chuka Tyson. It's a horizontal scrolling shooter. It's actually inspired by the novel Shioji. It's more commonly known as Monkey, which is a translation by Arthur Whaley of the 16th century novel Journey to the West. So the game stars Mike Chen, completely unrelated to Master Chen from Shenmue. And the game itself is actually pretty interesting. The enemies are things like flying birds with human heads on them, ramen noodles. You got pigs with bazookas. You have, you know, other flying forms of food. And it's actually quite difficult for me, anyway. I wasn't able to beat the game that easily. Interestingly enough, they also remade the game. It was called The Monkey King, The Journey Begins on the Wii, which is actually a much better remake, I think, than the original on the Master System. Back for Cloud Master, the story, it basically starts Michael Chen, who I mentioned earlier, and he basically meditated in the mountainous regions of China, and he grew powerful with ancient knowledge, and he hoped to gain the title of Cloud Master, which would make him a powerful mystic. But as every video game, there's an evil force who's trying to conspire against you, and he got attacked, so now he has to wipe out these bad guys and help him become the Cloud Master. Now, for the controls, Michael can move in 8 directions. Button 1 makes you use a normal shot. Button 2 gives you the power-up weapon. The game's divided into 5 rounds, and each round has a mid-boss who, when you defeat that boss, you get a special power-up weapon. So for the first one, your mid-boss is Lightning Boy, who actually appears twice. Once you defeat that mid-boss, a special door opens. You go into the door, and then you get a special item. Players start with 4 lives, and then you lose a life when you get shot or get touched by an enemy, like, you know, the flying bowl of ramen, or, you know, you get squeezed to the edge by a rock. You gain a new life when you reach 30,000 points, and then every 200,000 points thereafter. And then when you lose all lives, you can continue up to 3 times. So my opinion on the game, it's actually a pretty standard 1980s shmup. It is, it's for me, it's slightly difficult, more so difficult than most shmups in that time period. And I think that, I don't know, it was hard for me, and I personally preferred the Wii version of Cloud Master, which is called The Monkey King. You guys have played it. What do you guys think about Cloud Master?
Graham, do you want to go first?
Yeah, okay, I'll go first. So I'd never heard of this game before. I didn't know there was a Wii version. I didn't know there was a Master System version. and
I hated it.
As Marston sort of said, it kind of just looks like a standard shooter in the way it sort of plays out. Obviously, it's got the weird things like the ramen noodles, like bowls of them flying at you, and some other food, and the pigs with bazookas, and the other weird cloud dude who fires lightning bolts at you. But yeah, as Marston said, I found it really hard. I'm not the best at the shoot 'em ups, like the scrolling shooters, but I'm normally okay at them. I mean, I can handle my own normally. But yeah, this was just... I there's lots of times I kept getting to the same point just after the first time you fight the little guy in the cloud with the lightning. I kept like dying pretty much soon after that.
Maybe we just suck.
I think that's it. I think I got to the second level at one point and then died literally straight away. I was just like, this sucks, because you only get one hit. Is there like shield or, you know, not like an energy bar or anything? It's like one hit, you die. It basically go back to the start of the level or back to the start of the section. And because when you get to the little first cloud boss thing, that's still sort of partway through the first level. If you die, you go straight back to the start of the level. So I kept repeating the same bits over and over again, and I just sucked. I think it's there's these little turtles or tortoises at the bottom of the screen that shoot up at you as well, which I think they kept getting me. But it was kind of interesting, the way, like, all the weird stuff in it that made me keep wanting to play, but I just was so bad at it, I kind of got fed up. So I didn't really get very far. Level 2 or something is the furthest I got in the game. Chris, what did you think?
So I think from a technical aspect, the game does some really cool stuff. There's not... you know, a lot of like layered scrolling or anything like that in the backgrounds, but it does have some really big bosses that look really good, especially when you're talking about this is a Master System game. The game runs really quick too. There's very few instances where the game slows down, especially when you're having like tons of stuff going on screen at once. There's times when you might have a dozen or more enemies on screen and all shooting at you at the same time, but your character still moves pretty quickly. So from that standpoint, I think the game does do some really neat things. It's a weird game. You know, like you guys have been talking, like there's bowls of ramen that fly at you and they're shooting at you. All the enemies are pretty strange, and there's not a lot of explanation, at least in game, that happens from level to level. I think as you beat a boss, you have a master who comes on screen and says something to the effect of that, you know, you've done well, you're awarded a new title, but yet you have to keep going to the next level. It never tells you what your new titles are either, which is kind of weird. But as you kind of play through the game, you'll be able to get new power-ups, like you guys have been saying. I actually started playing Monkey King on the Wii this morning. I've had this for a while, and I hadn't really played it a lot, but it does some really cool stuff. And Marston, like you said, I do think that this is a much better game. It does a lot better job at explaining the reasons why you're doing this. And instead of being a boy this time, you're a half monkey, half boy, and you can choose between a boy and a girl. And it does a lot better job between levels of actually advancing you to a new title. I think the first level you start as an apprentice, and then you work your way up to a master at the end. And it's essentially the same game in a lot of respects. They swapped out some of the enemies, no longer are flying bowls of ramen shooting at you. They make a little bit more sense, I know. but one of the good things is that the end bosses are all pretty much the same, and they look really great. The only motion control aspect is it you can tilt the Wii controller left, and you'll slow down. And if you tilt it right, it'll speed up. So it's kind of interesting. There's also a two-player option in the Wii version. I don't think there was that in the Master System version.
There is a two-player version, yeah.
Oh, there is? Okay, neat. Yeah. There is also an... Oh, go ahead.
I was about to say, I don't know if it's like take it in turns, but there's definitely an option to pick two players.
I know in the Wii version, you play simultaneously. So it's two players on screen. And then when you complete one playthrough of the game, you unlock a race mode, which is basically you can't shoot at all throughout the level, and you have to make it from one end. You have to basically complete the level without shooting as quickly as you can, and there's like a timer on there. But what is kind of neat, though, is they release like health power-ups or health potions, I guess, that enable you to increase your health. And that was another distinct difference between the versions is, like you said earlier, Graham, it's basically one hit and you're dead in the Master System version. But the Wii version, you actually have a life bar. And you can get hit multiple times, but there are health boosts that you can pick up and increase your health throughout that. I found the Monkey King on Wii a lot easier than the Master System version. I was able to beat it basically in one playthrough and without having to continue. It was fairly easy, and I think once you really build up your power-ups and you get bombs. The bombs make a huge difference in the game, too. I was able to pretty much clear the whole screen completely of enemies and just basically spam bullets, and I beat every single boss without them doing much damage to me. I did have a little bit of trouble with the end boss, but it was still fairly easy. Monkey King is a very cheap game today. You can get it used at GameStop for $2.99, and it didn't get great reviews. IGN gave it a bad rating. I think it was like a 1 out of 5, or I don't know what their complete rating is. It gave it basically a presentation of 3, the graphics were 7, sound was 5, gameplay was 5, and lasting appeal was 6. The final score was 4.5. So I think it's a better game than that. It doesn't offer a ton of extras or anything like that, but I think it looks good. There's some neat particle effects, and I think especially if you go from the Master System version into this one, it's a good transition, and you can see maybe some of the things that they were looking to do in the Master System version, but playing a more contemporary game that has updated visuals and better gameplay, it all makes a little bit more sense to you, especially when you go back to the Master System version.
So I don't know if you guys can hear some clicking in the background, but I've been trying to play the game again on my tablet.
Live.
And I keep getting to that first freaking guy on the cloud. I keep dying. It's just really frustrating. I've just died like 6 or 7 times in a row. It's really
one bad. One also thing that we should note is that unlike other shooters where you have a special attack and it's very limited, in this one, it's unlimited. So you can just keep spamming it over and over and over again. And the best thing to do is when you go for power-ups, I suggest getting either a bomb, because those will attack the enemies on the ground that are shooting up at you, and makes it a lot easier to do that. And so I think that way you can clear the screen a lot easier. There's also another one, I forget what it's called, but it sends like 4 different like moon-shaped blades at your enemies. That is a really powerful power-up as well. And in the Wii version, you get like a ton that almost fill the entire screen. So if you're just basically pressing the 1 and 2 buttons over and over again, you're just annihilating everything on screen. It's just like nothing has a chance. So I'm playing it on my Retro Freak, which is great because it has save states. that's what I do every time I die. I'll just reload it. I know it's cheating, but it's really the only way I'm going to be able to complete the Master System version. The one other thing I should say is the hitboxes for the end bosses, it's a little strange in the Master System version because you can't just hit them anywhere. Like they're really big and they fill up almost half the size of the screen, but you basically have to hit them in the face. You can't like shoot the bottom portions of them and hit them. Unlike the Master System version, or I'm sorry, the Wii version, in Monkey King, you can hit them anywhere and you're damaging them. Okay. And so it's a little bit more difficult as well.
Yeah, cool. I'll just also give you a quick update. I just tested out the 2-player version on the Master System version, and it's take it in turns. So player 1 has a go, then player 2 has a go, and then player 1 dies. So
yeah, that doesn't, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. Just, I would think just from a memory standpoint, yeah. I mean, the game already is doing a lot on screen. And I think having that might have just been too much for the little Master System.
Little guy.
So would you guys recommend people play this game? And maybe if you're a collector or anything like that, would you recommend them picking it up?
Well, this thing is, I hated it, but at the same time, I kind of would recommend people to play it, because I think you mentioned it does seem to, it, for its time, and the fact it's on like an old 8-bit system, it does actually, it's done quite well. It plays very well. I think I just suck at it. And it's one of the harder games to play. It's weird, because you get those games which are called bullet hell shooters, where literally there's bullets everywhere. This game, so far from what I've played, doesn't really have that bullet hell feel, but you can die really easily, really quickly, so it kind of is as hard as a bullet hell game, I'd say. But then again, I'm not the best of them. But yeah, I'd recommend it, I guess, for people.
What about you, Orson?
I would recommend it too. I mean, if you're a fan of shoot 'em ups, especially if you're a fan of classic 1980s shoot 'em ups, early 90s shoot 'em ups, I would say you should probably give it a go. And I don't think it's that expensive. It's probably, you could probably find it for $15 on Amazon, honestly. Yeah. I would recommend it for sure.
What about Monkey King?
But like, that's even cheaper. You could probably get a bundle for it on Amazon. But I would say if you like Cloud Master, let's just say start with Cloud Master. If you like Cloud Master, then go for Monkey King, because that will be a better, more improved, reimagined version, and you know, it's prettier.
I'll tell you what, Sega, I want Monkey King or Cloud Master on Sega Forever.
Yeah, I was about to say, it could be coming to Sega Forever, we don't know.
Give me that, and I will subscribe.
Yeah.
That's the deal breaker.
I've just found a copy of it on the Amazon.co.uk for £10, £9.99. So, yeah, it's not too expensive.
I was right, kind of.
Yeah.
So
cool.
All right, so that is our game of the week, and like Morrison said, what we'll do is after this podcast, this episode of the podcast comes out, we will put up a poll on Twitter and let you all vote, and then basically we'll have it run for a couple days, and whatever wins, we'll start playing, and we'll talk about it next week, and we'll run down kind of the game's history, some of the background, look at the developers and any sort of like interesting tidbits about the game, and then we'll just kind of talk about our thoughts while playing it. All right, so that should do it for this week's podcast. Let us know what you think about the new format. Maybe if you prefer any of the older segments or anything like that, or maybe if you have some ideas on how we can make this one better, maybe throw a new a segment or something like that into the podcast. Let us know, and also just make sure to follow us on social media. It's at Sega Nerds, and on Facebook it's facebook.com/thesega nerds, and always just be sure to check out the website. You know, every day we're posting up new Sega information, and we really think that, you know, we're one of the best sources for Sega news around the internet. Also make sure to check out Megavisions magazine. We just released issue 3 a couple weeks ago. Has a ton of great Sonic content in there, new features, new content, new articles and columns that we think you'll really enjoy. So if you want to learn more about that, go to megavisionsmag.com, or just go and search Megavisions in your app store of choice, and you'll be able to download our free app, and you can even download our free Zero issue. Check out the magazine. You'll be able to understand the interactive features and elements and some of the multimedia stuff that we have going on in there that helps separate Megavisions magazine from some of the other digital magazines out there on the market. And we're interested in hearing what you think about that. So, all right, guys, I think this is going to do it for this week's podcast. We will be back again next week. And maybe we can talk about some E3 stuff next week, too. Maybe some.
Yes, please. On,
yeah. So always, always fun stuff. So, all right, guys, I will see you next week.
Catch you later.
Bye.
You got fun and features, too, and your classic game reviews. It's the Sega Nerds. I think that's the best thing we've ever done. Just that song. And we didn't even do it.
It says a lot about us.
Come so far.